Now, a Talk Radio 1210 WPHT special presentation.
It's the end of the world.
Hey, Neuro, let's put a trigger warning on trigger warnings.
One of them is just
while you're driving. I gotta take it on the other side.
Yes, welcome into another Other Side. Dan Borowski here, Anthony Dorenzo, and man, do we have a lot on deck for today centered around these college protests. And Anthony, just right out of the gate, I'll ask you, because we've been going back and forth. The college protests, your overall thoughts on them, man, they're a little bit too radical, aren't they?
A little bit.
No? You're still not wavering on that?
No, I mean, I do think they're out of hand, but I do get a little frustrated when I hear people call into our station or guests call into our station and essentially say that the kids don't deserve free speech. Now, if they start acting violently toward a Jewish student who has nothing to do with Netanyahu bombing people or, you know, breaking campus, you know, anything that the school owns or
kids calling for infantata at this point. I mean,
yeah. I understand some of them support terrorists and I understand some of them are losing their minds, but I think like towing that line of allowing people to say these insane things, it is something where, you know, as much as I don't love hearing, you know, go Hamas, pro Hamas, like they deserve to die. Like, but we are a country where those things are allowed to be said. Like, I try to emphasize that at the same time.
Yeah, here's a line that it's a kind of similar line that Biden tried to straddle this morning when he had his announcement. Take a listen.
Before I head to North Carolina, I wanted to speak a few moments about what's going on our college campuses here. We've all seen the images, and they put to the test two fundamental American principles. Excuse me.
Confidence
is the right to free speech and for people to peacefully assemble and make their voices heard. The second is the rule of law. Both must be upheld. We are not an authoritarian nation where we silence people or squash dissent. The American people are heard. In fact, peaceful protest is in the best tradition of how Americans respond to consequential issues. But neither are we a lawless country. We are a civil society, and order must prevail. Throughout our history, we've often faced moments like this because we are a big, diverse, free-thinking, and freedom-loving nation. In moments like this, there are always those who rush in to score political points. But this isn't a moment for politics. It's a moment for clarity. So let me be clear.
Dude, I got to stop it there, though, because I feel like he's kind of playing politics with the whole issue. Is he not? I mean, the reason why this is an issue in the first place.
He doesn't want to make a decision because he has supporters on both sides of this issue. He understands he needs the Arab vote in a state like Michigan, but he also understands in a state like New York, he needs the Jewish vote. And he doesn't have a good answer for either side. I mean, you're right. He almost sounds like me a little bit, but at the same time, does that even seem genuine? Like, this is coming at a time where everyone, he was forced
to. It seems genuine coming from your mouth, but not from his, because he's had chance and over chance over chance to say something about it before. And this is the first time he's finally speaking up. And it's really going well for him, Anthony. Take a listen. Yeah, both sides here.
And the school's embracing the Trump supporters because, they're all against Biden, I guess. So
obviously going well, huh? Kimmy checking in. Hey, Kimmy, how you doing? Nice to see you. Thanks for chiming on. Anthony, so what exactly do these protesters want then? Like, it's what in your opinion are you thinking that these guys are calling for? Because it's not very clear when we hear from them, but you first. Take a shot at it.
I think a lot of them are outside agitators. I know that's been a topic that we continue to hear about. I know New York Post put out a story saying someone that is related to a member of Hamas was at one of the protests. So we're continuing to hear more and more information on this vein from the subject. But in my opinion, it seems like there are a lot of kids that are misguided that don't understand the entire issue. I mean, we have funded Palestine and Iran to a certain extent, as much as we do with Israel. And it feels like we're just kind of playing constantly every single side when it comes to a war like this. And a lot of people don't understand that, let alone even understand their own side, which I know you're going to get to this clip of a NYU student who, yeah, she has no idea why she's...
Well, a Columbia student now over at NYU March.
Yeah.
And what would you say is the main goal with tonight's protest?
I think the goal is just showing our support for Palestine and demanding that NYU stops. I honestly don't know all of what NYU's doing.
Is there something that NYU's doing?
I really don't know. I'm pretty sure they're... Do you know what NYU's doing?
About what?
About Israel. Why are we protesting here?
Palestine will be free!
I wish I was more educated.
I'm not either. I came from Columbia. I was there up at Columbia, and we came down. They said NYU students needed our support. So I came down. I heard there's lots of cops. Some people were saying it was getting dangerous.
And what would you...
Came down from Columbia. She's not very educated, apparently.
Has no idea what's going on. Just like that clip. I know you played it. We played it as well. There was the one kid saying, "What the hell? It's finals. Like, let us out. You can't lock us in here. Like, come on."
Why don't I have that? Hold on. Finals. Let me see if I can pull that real quick. That's one of my favorite clips from the week.
It's a complete joke. So I think this is a complete scam compared to what we saw like back in the day when people really were protesting for things that mattered. And I'm not saying this doesn't matter, but I think the oxymoron of this entire thing, whether it's outside agitators and people being incentivized to create chaos in these situations, but even the people that believe in this stuff, I think it really is frustrating, at least to me, because listen to what we say. Listen to what people on our side of the aisle kind of say when they call into our radio station. Most of these people don't want to fund war. Left, right, middle, indifferent. Nobody really wants to be sending, whether it's our people or money, to these situations and putting our people at risk and our national security at risk for really for what? Just to be the world's moral adult when we're still not doing good things over and over and over again. And, you know, it's frustrating to me because, yeah, we're not happy with our own government either. And honestly, it seems like Israelis, they're protesting Netanyahu and how he's handling the situation. Same thing there. So honestly, whether you support the innocent people in Gaza, whether you support the innocent people that were murdered in Israel with all those tragic events, I think at the end of the day, we all kind of agree that leadership's terrible and we as the free people need to demand better on all ends. So it's frustrating to me because...
By demanding better, though, and then we got into a conversation with a caller. I forget his name, but I posted a clip over on social media. You can see it where he's on with Dom. But we were talking about the suggestion of like a Marshall Plan for the Gaza Strip, where essentially we just funnel money and re-educate the entire... So he suggests that re-education is the way forward to peace. But, you know, both Dom and I shot back and said, well, with the Marshall Plan, you had the allies all together, you know, forming a new society in Germany and in Europe after World War II. But then here you have a terroristic organization, Hamas, who's not going to surrender any control. So I think there's a lot of people, both on the left and the right, who do want to see somewhat of a Marshall Plan, a complete, you know, renovation essentially of the Gaza Strip to make it more Western values. But there are people that just don't recognize that they've been brainwashed by Hamas into thinking that Hamas can be there by the side of the Americans in renovating said stuff. Like it's, you can't remove the terroristic organization without violence. And I hate to say, but I think that's kind of where we're at right now, Anthony.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean stooping to their level, you know, and I think that's what we constantly see Israel doing. And I know Hamas is...
But again, I mean, that's how much of that is propaganda to try to get us to think that it's as bad as what Hamas does.
I'm not saying it's
like the drone drops on humanitarian aids. Yeah, the flower incident with, you know, firing upon people just wanting humanitarian aid. Yeah, that's ridiculous. That can't be happening. But to compare anything that the IDF does to the, you know, repeated violence that, you know, Hamas just kind of throws out there is, I don't think you can compare it.
I mean, there are claims, and this isn't necessarily true, and there's some evidence, but there are claims that the Israeli government propped up Hamas to a certain point to get them power, so they can be kind of at least decimated in a moral standpoint because they had reason to. Which I don't know. These are just questions. I don't think that's necessarily the truth, but I don't think the Israeli government is like a saint in this situation. And honestly, I wish we weren't involved at all, but that's never going to be the case.
Yeah. So back to the protesters, Ant. there was this girl at Columbia, right? Was this Columbia? I think it was Columbia.
Yeah.
That went viral. And just, I don't know, is this a general sense that you're getting of these protesters that most of them are just kind of the entitled perennial online types?
I mean, if you're going to Columbia or NYU or, you know, any of those schools, yeah, I mean, yeah, shout out to Matt DeSantis in Harvard. You know, if you're in that crowd, come on. Yeah, you're a little bit.
Be obligated to provide food to people who have taken over a building?
Well, first of all, we're saying that they're obligated to provide food to students who pay for a meal plan here.
But you mentioned that there was a request that food and water be brought in, unless I misunderstood.
To allow it to be brought in. I mean, well, I guess it's ultimately a question of what kind of community and obligation Columbia feels it has to its students.
This is like arguing with a liberal online on Reddit. Like, watch where this goes, because they've been caught now cornered. She's been cornered into saying what she just said, which is asinine, but...
Well, it has to its students. Do you want students to die of dehydration and starvation or get severely ill, even if they disagree with you? If the answer is no, then you should allow basic... I mean, it's crazy to say because we're on an Ivy League campus, but this is, like, basic humanitarian aid we're asking for. Like, could people please have a glass of water?
But they did put themselves in that very deliberately.
Glass of water.
Situation and in that position. So it seems like you're sort of saying,
on a faucet.
We want to be revolutionaries. We want to pick up this building. Now would you please bring us food and water?
Nobody's asking them to bring anything. We're asking them to not violently stop us from bringing in basic humanitarian aid.
They're stopping the delivery of food.
We are looking for a commitment from them that they will not stop it violently.
They haven't stopped it yet.
I don't know to what extent it has been attempted, but we're looking for a commitment.
The goalposts, man, they just keep moving back further and further.
Commitment to what, though? Like, I'll give them this, and there's...
No, she wants a commitment to the police not stopping delivery drivers, something that hasn't happened in the first place because she hasn't had any proof that it has happened, but... Okay, sorry, go ahead.
No, I mean, and even trying to hold the university accountable for a ceasefire, I believe there are reports that one Columbia building is tied to a program for study abroad in Israel. And I think that's a big part of how this all started. But as we've shown, a lot of these kids don't even know that. And what can we really do? And even these institutions really do when it comes down to impacting the war. Like, it's really, unless you work for one of those companies that are part of the war and you know, supply the tools needed for it. I mean, really, they don't have leverage here and they can't really do anything. So it's just frustrating. Like, what do you mean ceasefire? Like, these people are just trying to do their jobs. Like, how you're just getting in the way and or even violently harassing someone because they're Jewish, as if they have any sort of control for what Israel is even doing.
Which agree with 95% of your politics, too. Like, they're all progressive leadership of universities, too, that have already swung so far in a progressive direction.
Yep.
It's nuts. And I'm going to get to Illinois here in a second because they do kind of concisely say what they are demanding here. And it is kind of a socialist demands. Like, it's almost like being used as these protests are almost be using as a vessel for, you know, hyper progressive policies and demands and such. Yep. We'll get into that one second. But I want to take a pause because I have no idea what the hell's going on in the chat, Anthony. Are you seeing this? Tiny Bubbles. Secret Scrolls almost out of the shower. We were filthy.
Oh, God.
And Kimmy, is Secret Sewing going to join us, Timmy? Tiny, oh no, these two. Hi, S's. Okay, I read initially something about joining in the shower. And my mind went to the wrong place. Sorry, guys. I do apologize about that. Back to this, Anthony. Here is Illinois. Chicago.
Live the Intifada! Intifada! Intifada!
We demand that you, Chicago, repair the harm it has caused in Palestine, Chicago, and beyond. This includes explicitly acknowledging such harm, as well as implementing a communally accountable program of reparation. More specifically, it includes 1, recognizing Israel's genocide and scholasticide in Palestine and supporting Rizet University's initiative to rebuild Gazan higher education.
All right, so I'll stop right there. What's that going to do if they recognize, like, the release of press release? Is that what they want?
It's just, I think about this as, imagine if I was, like, an administrator at school. Like, say either of us got into education. I cannot imagine being on the team, like, trying to react to this with the president, just standing there, like, in awe. Like, how do you even, what do you do?
How many of these guys, like this guy and this guy, are just here because they think it'll get them laid?
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of. You'll be surprised. People will believe anything in politics to get a little bit lucky, I think, especially when they're impressionable like that. Yeah.
The thing I'm laughing about is I just don't know how much sex these guys are actually having.
Hey, more. Hopefully they are, but they're pretty angry. Maybe they're not.
True.
UN principles for responsible investment. 3. Disbanding UCPD and redirecting funds to Southside community-based projects. 4. Allocating funds to annual rental assistance in local schools, expanding employer-assisted housing, funding grants for long-term affordable housing, and halting expansion on the South Side. 5.
I'm curious how that affects the war in Palestine. Expanding community housing.
Yeah,
the south side of Chicago.
I don't know about that. And South Side, isn't that a little dicey over there anyway?
Yeah, it is, apparently. Yeah. You ever go to Chicago?
I need to. I've been meaning to. I want to go up to Wrigley this summer with, the Phillies are visiting, but it's getting close already. So, I don't know. Tickets might be too expensive for me to go this year.
What are tickets for the Sixers game tonight? Do you know?
I was looking. They're starting around 120, and I guess if there's a bunch of people giving them away, if you get lucky, because there's been a ton of people trying to get all the Sixers fans back in. Ruben and all his team are giving some of them out. So if you, a lot of people walking around the city today in a Sixers jersey, whatever, they'll
Really? They're just like walking around the city handing them out. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a few videos they posted doing that.
Like so. Times Square with the comedians that huck the tickets on you.
Yeah, the opposite. You don't have to pay $20 for a CD. Right.
They bring you there. It's like, oh, yeah, 5-drink minimum. Oh, great. Awesome. So how are universities responding? First off, one of the early responders was Indiana, my alma mater.
Yep.
They sent in the IU State Police, some SWAT officers. Dunmeadow is right outside the student union, and we're like, get the hell out of here, guys. But it went viral, and I'm curious if you think this is too much, too violent of a breakup, Anthony. This is one of the early ones. Didn't really get much play in the media, though, surprisingly.
Oh, look at them chanting! Oh, look at them chanting!
Oh, you guys are big
boys! Oh, I'm
the
clown! Right!
Oh, it probably is a tear gas grenade launcher, right?
Yeah.
Probably. Oh, yeah, look at me. In front of this.
Fuck you.
So I don't know. Are the protesters just overreacting there with their screaming and making it seem more violent than it actually is? Or, Anthony, I mean, the aiming of the, canister launcher at the crowd's not a good look. I can pretty much that out there.
I know we're both just saying, yeah, that's probably like flashbangs, but people don't know that, and it's kind of threatening. I wouldn't say they can't do it, but it's obviously, going to induce some sort of reaction. Are they out of line? Sure, a little bit, but at the same time, again, it sucks, but I think in a situation like that, you should be able to react as long
as you're not. The craziest thing I draw from that, though, is that happened April 27th, so what, 5 days ago now?
Yeah.
And you haven't heard any kind of, like, you would think with the vocal minority and what they're calling for and the refusal of universities to speak out, that anytime they have this kind of violent reaction by the police, there'd be a huge, national headlines, 24/7 media covering it nonstop. Nothing, not a peep. So I really think society, this is kind of proof that even mainstream media is over, trying to exploit police reaction as being too much. Like, for example, where the hell does NYPD get a truck like this, Anthony? It's a pretty impressive truck.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But even then, like, It felt like CNN when they were going into Hamilton Hall was kind of supportive of that over at Columbia. You catching that vibe as well?
Yeah, I mean, they were threatened. I know we've played some clips of CNN even at these protests trying to debate people and get into the nitty-gritty of what happened on October the 7th and et cetera, et cetera. And then they're like, why are you in my face? Get out of my face. And they give up on the debate. And CNN was saying that. Some of the protesters started to get semi-violent with them, and they escorted him off of the scene. I believe that was at UCLA. But yeah, I mean, CNN even, you know, they're getting to the point of logic. And I know you played with Dama. We played earlier as well. Al Sharpton kind of coming around to that kind of mentality as well. So,
yeah, like they were real vocal.
I've got to say, you'd ask what parents were saying about this. I mean, for parents whose children are, and their children, by the way, there's some adults, you know, but I say this because we've got kids, obviously, of college age. I mean, I just, obviously, there are many that are distressed. I'm sure many are concerned about their safety. I certainly hope the students got out and are doing it peacefully right now. But Richard, this is, I tried to explain this a couple days ago. Maybe I wasn't eloquent enough. But I can tell you my family. I'm not saying the Vietnam War was a just war. It was not a just war. But I can tell you the riots on college campuses, the riots at the Chicago Convention in 68, all of those things moved my family from being Democrats their entire life to being Republicans. I remember I was young, and I remember my parents asking, what in the world is going on in this country? And of course, you know, they were raised in the Great Depression in rural Georgia. Kind of hard for them to hear rich kids on campus.
So he's talking very slow, but you get the point. He continues there, and he says essentially that this is similar to how his parents were turned into Republicans, and this really hurts Biden and the Democrats. And bringing it all together with last week, where our conversation was, you know, young future conservative voters, I think when you have a sect of the Democratic Party acting out like this, it's natural that it drives people to the right. Agree?
Yeah, no, I do. But that's why I think we went over it last week when we talked about the woes of the party and their messaging on multiple issues. I think that's something that's still, as much as that's correct, I think they still kind of push people away a little bit. And that's kind of the problem. Like, are they going to have those people 40s, 50s, 60s and up that are fed up a little bit? Sure. But I'm still very much worried, and even worried about that age group with women for the party, especially in an area like ours in the Northeast. So it's, I don't know. It's something.
I would say the top two for women of our age is probably abortion and student loans. And it seems like Republicans fail on both topics.
They act like both are not an issue, even though both are really an issue. And it doesn't matter what you want to make the election about. You have to appeal to what the election actually is becoming about.
Yeah. So more reaction from police to these protests. Let's go to UCLA. And first off, I'll play how the police handled things last night, and then I'll play you the reaction, Anthony, how they armed themselves today to fight back against police.
There's a struggle going on over here now, but again,
wow.
Oh my goodness.
Gina,
this is so dangerous. Again, they're shooting rubber bullets, but I can tell you from doing stories about rubber bullets, they are extremely painful. If they hit your leg, your arm, they could break your arm. But they're trying to get into this encampment to get everyone arrested and out of this encampment. There's a struggle going on.
Very MacGyverish and thrifty of them to use these pallets. Where do you think they get these things from, first off?
Well, that's something in general. Like, where do they get all this stuff? Like, that to me, that kind of proves the organization of it. And there's been a bunch of reports online. Not all of them are confirmed, but about groups getting together, coordinating, getting the supplies for these events and moving forward with it, which, again, I'm okay with. And I encourage protesting, even if I totally disagree with you. But it seems like a lot of this is done with like the intent of total and pure chaos. which like is just that's why we were just getting that.
And clip. Do you think it's for a cause, or do you think it's just because they're bored and want a LARP? LARP being live action role play. If you've never heard,
I think there's a lot of angst that people want to kind of get out there, and people are also just fed up and sick and tired of like the power structure that kind of feeds us nonsense. But at the same time, I just think other people are angry and they want to be a part of something that kind of ensues something, you know, like we're seeing now. And hopefully I'm wrong, but it's scary when you get a group of people like that together. You never know what's going to happen, especially now. I mean, they're canceling some graduations with these kids who barely had a normal high school and college experience as is. So it's,
their graduations canceled, and now their colleges are canceled.
Yeah. Yeah.
Here's how UCLA students responded. And why I ask about the LARPing, because this looks like something out of a LARP YouTuber. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Look at the trash cans. Look at him run. Go. You got it, guys. You got it. Stand up to the police. Stop. Hey. Stop. I love the long run.
Yeah, that's crazy. Could you imagine rushing the cops with half of a sawed off plastic trash can and a helmet? That's it. What are they thinking? You're gonna win.
Here's I think this might show it a little bit more actually. Here,
I mean, seriously, they were looking at police officers, particularly black police officers, and accusing them of being the KKK because they didn't want to be taken away. And I guess they were trying to flip the switch. But the idiocy that you see on your screen right now, did you see the guy underneath? Look, they're trying to get beyond the police tape here. I mean,
like, what is the point here?
Yeah, I don't know. That's an immediate law. And then, like, putting hands off and walking away. One of the guys, like, yeah, why'd you even do it? It makes no sense.
How much of this do you think is driven by TikTok? Because I think this is a great example of ideological subversion, Anthony.
This could be riled up on any platform, including Facebook, Twitter, whatever. All these, it's not just TikTok, but, you know, I get it. You hate TikTok, ban TikTok.
I mean, something like this just happens to be posted on TikTok, right?
My name is Luce. I graduated from Cal Poly Humboldt in 2019 with a degree in critical race, gender, and sexuality studies.
First of all, that's a degree, critical race, gender, and sexuality.
That's studies? What I thought you had, dude. Come on.
No, I have a pretty much non-degree.
Today, I'm burning my degree in solidarity with the people at encampment in Intifada Hall. And more importantly, the people of Palestine. It's outrageous to see how the university and admin is handling everything and responding to the people exercising their First Amendment rights, call off the cops, and meet the students' demands, and more importantly, free Palestine.
I might burn mine too.
Yeah, for what cause would you burn yours?
I don't know.
What's the name?
It was the most worthless. I don't, I'm not saying it's worthless. I found my job for it, but still.
Yeah, but still kind of worthless.
Yeah. Still kind of worthless. Kids got it figured out. But yeah, I mean, that's lunacy. Meet the students' demands, get the cops away. Like, okay. Like, you don't, it's not like you're the one. Clearly he wasn't the one who was threatened on campus if he feels that way. So
good old Luz taking out a lighter to his diploma that he's going to demand that the government pay for to forgive.
Sorry, the cops or firefighters show up at his dorm, you know.
Here's Fordham University, where kids decided to set up a tent encampment inside a solarium.
He's sponsored by REI, too. All brand new stuff.
I sit on the Dom show. The only time I've seen like a tent set up inside is for like a 5-year-old who wants to feel like he's outdoors, and his parent like gives him a bluey tent.
Yeah.
Or you have like a car show on the back of a Ford Bronco to show how outdoorsy the car is.
Yeah, literally.
But it makes no sense otherwise to have a tent set up indoors. But I bring up the tents because apparently Tony Bruno's been on a hunt for the source of the
yeah.
They're all using the same tents. Yeah.
Yeah. Like there's a bunch of pictures online of schools all over the country using these same tents. So people are whether it was those signs you're referring to, the tents, people are wondering where all of it's coming from. So that's something we're all trying to get to the bottom of. And it's definitely, you know, there's no way it's a total coincidence. Is there right. some different entities helping it? Sure, but
I love like Reddit conspiracy. They posted about it. And the top answer was, oh, you know, Occam's razor, usually the easiest answer is the first answer. And it's the cheapest $30 tent at Walmart and on Amazon. But to think that all these protesters at the exact same time use their Amazon Prime accounts to order tents, receive them all at the same time via shipping and yeah. set them up. Like you'd have to know ahead of time that you needed to set up this encampment, right?
Yeah,
so are you ordering your 2-day shipping?
A lot of people have Prime now. Is this
how there a run on purple haired individuals to the local Walmart?
You know what? This shows you how good Amazon Prime is and why you need it. Because all these people have Prime. This is going to be the next Amazon Prime commercial. Like, it sells itself. We're going to see.
All right, well, let's do an Amazon Prime commercial here. Even though we're not paid by them. But,
hey, dude,
Fallout's freaking excellent, man.
Oh, yeah, dude. So good. Yes, I loved it. Watched it in like a day.
You watched the entire thing in a day?
Well, I held
in moderation. Like, you got to take a chill pill and.
I held one for the next day, but on my lazy Sunday, I watched like all of Fallout. Yes, unfortunately.
So Fallout, absolutely fantastic. And I'm 100% convinced that the writers wrote it as an allegory for coronavirus.
I mean, it was already a thing before coronavirus, but I could
understand. The story wasn't a thing. The story was crap in the games.
Yeah. Yeah. I get what you mean. I'm just saying, I guess the premise, but you're right. The story just from. What, just not anyone being out there and emerging?
No. So listen, everything makes sense, right? So Vault-Tec is the pharmaceutical companies, right? They want the control. So they release upon, not atom bombs, they release, what do they release? Coronavirus themselves, the pharmaceutical companies. And what do they offer? And why do they release this upon the world? Is because they want to offer non-stop vaccines, non-stop medications for symptoms that they cause themselves, placing us all into a theoretical vault and under the control, full control, financial control of the pharmaceutical companies, which we've seen an explosion of since coronavirus.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I would say it's more...
And then all the non-vax people are the people on the outside. You know?
In my opinion, it would be, the ghouls and everything. But in my opinion, it would be more of a metaphor for government in general and control and like the false hope we have. And like, even when you see like the election in there, and also there, the whole conspiracy about voting for which vault, you know, and where all the leadership comes from. And as that kind of continues to follow up and develop throughout the story,
are they all globalists? Do they all come from the same, you know, vault?
No, that's what I mean. And it's kind of as much as like we talked about that last week with globalism and what is really happening and who is pulling the strings to a certain point with money and power and influence. And I think this is a really, I've said this about Dune, and I think almost Fallout might be even more so, just a very, very perfect example of power and power dynamics in human life and how when too much of it gets to people's heads, like the scenarios that could unfold.
Yeah. Hey, go watch it again, because you said you wanted to watch it again, right?
I think I'm on episode 4 already again, so yeah, I'll get through it.
Sid's making fun of my... How do we pronounce this word? Did I pronounce it? Is this another...
It's allegory. Back,
yeah, is it not? Use it right?
No, you used it right, I believe.
It's back in the Atlantic City days, when I was first starting in radio, I read a live read that had H-O-R-S, then D apostrophe E-V-O-R... U.S. and I read it Hors d'oeuvres on air, and people were like, "Do you mean hors d'oeuvres?" Because yeah, I don't think Hors d'oeuvres is anything. Hold on,
allegory.
Okay.
Yeah. See, you're right, and that's hors d'oeuvres. I was a slave at a wedding catering event place, so I would have got that at least. So, not just saying.
A story, poem, or picture that can be interpreted to reveal a hidden meaning, typically a moral or political. I'm just happy I.
Sid just likes saying crazy stuff. Dan, you don't have a black eye. There's just bad lighting with the hat.
It might. I don't know, though. I got that dog, man, and she is a lot. And I've definitely got kicked right in the face. Yeah. No, I've gotten stepped on the eye, man. I'll just lay on the ground and she'll just have her way with me. God. Wow, hold on. Please take that, strike that from the record. So how's it going locally, Anthony? Here's UPenn's campus. What's this, the Ben Franklin statue? Yeah. I can't see it. Hold on.
Their drummer's pretty good. I'll give them that. They got their drummer's better than some of the others. Pretty good. Pretty decent drummer.
At least they're on beat, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But apparently not letting journalists in from Andy Ngo.
Very clearly earlier said we prefer you over there, right? Now you're already moving back in. You weren't also following. You were walking around this way too.
No, I never entered this line right there.
Well, you know what we
mean? No.
I'm clarifying the request.
Just a little stoppage just to point out that the tents are indeed the same as Fordham.
Yeah.
They aren't over there.
That was never the request that was made.
Okay.
That's ridiculous.
Okay.
That's ridiculous.
I mean, I appreciate you. Well, actually, no, you're not explaining it to me in any way, shape, or form, so I don't know where we're going here. And I've spoken with campus police right now. There is no infringement. There is no...
I don't care what campus police says, man.
...sovereignty here. There is no...
Yeah, that's cool.
I talked to some of your organized... Do you go here? Are you a student here?
None of your business, man.
Are you a student at this campus?
None of your business, man.
So you're not a student here?
None of your business.
Okay, because I spoke to campus police earlier, and they were telling me that there were individuals on the edge, like yourself,
sure,
of the encampment that aren't even students here.
Okay.
So are you a student here?
It's none of your business, or, man.
Okay, well,
if
you're not a student here...
Are you a student here?
No, I'm not. I'm part of the media. That's why I'm here.
Yeah, well, apparently a lot of that, huh, Anthony?
Yeah, I don't like that either. I mean, if it's a public university, that's one thing. This is a private university. So technically that's not allowed. Like, and I'm not, you know, I went to only public universities where people, there were, especially when I was up in like central Western PA, there were groups of people saying women belong in the kitchen, gays aren't accepted by God. Like they'd say all this crazy stuff. And some kids would get in a scuffle and try to cause harm, but there would be cops there defending them because they're allowed to say it. It's a public university and their tax dollars go toward it. So, you know, that's a whole different story with these private institutions, especially somewhere like Penn. If you're not a student, you're at an encampment occupying a building and in the way of students. I mean, and it's one thing for media. I mean, we should be there to get some coverage, but at the very least for students, that's what that's supposed to be. They're supposed to be able to protest there. That's their community. That's their space. They pay to be there. So, you know, it's unacceptable for these outside people to continue to make this worse and worse. And to, you know, to really just make this even crazier than it needs to be.
I think you're right there. And it's just, I don't understand why this seems to happen over and over again, the agitators. And I hate to be the conspiracy theorist, but I go back to, is this all part of a globalist agenda to try to pull society apart at the seams? And are people paying individuals to do the bidding and do that job? Because just some of this stuff is so asinine to hear from these kids, dude.
Well, I think people are also so fed up with us just funding wars like ever since back in the 60s when people really were drafted and affected by this. Now, especially with modern warfare, you know, it's less impacting us on a personal level, but it's still impacting us from a financial level. And our entire system is kind of falling apart at the seams. And no matter where you're at on the political spectrum, people are sick of funding this. And I think that's part of what's motivating this. I mean, I do, because I think there are parts of the arguments for Palestine that are correct. I'm not saying the people that support Hamas, but this is, I think, what it leads to, because people are sick and tired of having all of our money go towards things like this when nothing seems to help us out ever.
Yeah, but at the same time, I think this is the wrong fight to be picking your side in, or you're picking the wrong side.
Well, but we help both sides. We're giving aid to Gaza while also helping Israel bomb them, while also we left.
So what's the solution, that you just stop funding Israel? I mean,
I'm kind of ready to. Why do they need all our money? We're giving everyone all of our money that we don't even have, that our grandkids are going to be paying back this.
They're
debt.
Legitimately, yeah, the vessel of Western civilization, surrounded by, like, it goes further than just religion. It's, you know, international politics, international affairs are hold on society. Like, in a world where you have a new axis of evil developing, and I go back to the Russia, the Chinas, the Irans, where they want a different value of life to spread throughout the world by removing ourselves from Israel, you essentially enable them to spread their power. And like the only way that you're going to be able to, again, change Gaza is with that influx of money that I think does need to go there. But it doesn't, it needs to stay the hell out of the pockets of Hamas, because they're just going to build tunnels for themselves. They're going to build fortresses. They're not going to use it for reinvestment.
If I were the president of the United States, I would refuse to give money to Israel or Iran, Palestine, whoever, until either side shows a willingness to humanize the other side. We're dealing with leadership structures that pretty much try to tell you why an entire race of people should be murdered on both ends. Like, that's the argument. You can't even really have a discussion about this with people that have a dog in the fight. Technically, it's almost impossible. We say that about abortion. This issue, it's 10 times worse. So to me, until both sides of leadership realize how awful they've made the lives of the families that they're essentially in charge of, I say we step out of it. Because you know what? They're the ones, they reap what they sow here, honestly. And the IDF, the whole Israel's defense, they can handle this stuff. They have the Iron Dome. They can, if they really want to, they can. And, you know, unfortunately, they couldn't figure that out for October the 7th. But in my opinion, we just make this stuff worse and we enable it. We just enable it. And that's it. Like, I get it. Hamas needs to be destroyed. But, you know, I
think, right, so what does the Middle East look like then if we take our hands out of it?
I don't know. Like, and like, I don't suggestion's
easy to make, but then the end game of that is not a appealing prospect.
I want innocent people to be able to have the leverage to make their own decisions. But the unfortunate part is right now, they always seem to have groups like Hamas emerge from the top because they want violence. So
when you're talking about innocent people making their own decisions, it seems to always be lost on individuals propagating for humanitarian rights of those in Gaza that were essentially vouching for Sharia law, because that's what these people want. And it's not what the women want. It's not what the children want. It's what the men want. And it's because of their religion. So essentially, by stepping aside, we're going to let Sharia law reign free throughout the Middle East. Do you not agree with that?
I mean, I don't like it, but again, I think that's something, who are we to say that's not their right? That's their country, and that's their, you know, their group of people. That's concerning to me, but we can't control everyone. Like, what are we? We're not everyone's mom and dad. I don't understand why we think we can fix
it. It's not really about being anyone's mom and dad here. I think it goes deeper. It's, you know, again, the foreign aspect of it, it's the oil aspect, it's the natural resources that you have in the Middle East, it's the control of the Middle East, that if we're being realistic with ourselves, while I hate the fact that we have to be there, if we're not there, the void's going to be filled by a nefarious entity. You know, it's...
I don't know. I think you could step out enough that Israel's still an ally and we could be removed enough. I do, but... You know, we're never going to be. We're always going to be all over this issue, and we'll never get out. So,
change, to be honest. Something that might change tonight, 9 o'clock, which is a freaking late start time, but I like it, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I might need a nap before this game, but yeah.
What are your predictions? Sixers take on the Knicks, game 6. Freaking miraculous last minute by Maxey last game.
Tyrese!
Regulation.
My guy, yeah. I mean, I was obviously kind of at the point of where I lost all hope. Now I'm kind of back a little bit. 3-point spread here tonight. Sixers -3 at home. Plus 130 money line for the Knicks right now. Over 202. In my opinion, I don't know. It feels like a high scoring game. I might go over there. And I think the Sixers cover 3 here at home. If they lose a series, I think they lose it in 7 at the Garden. It's going to be a tough one, but I think the Sixers pull it out here.
Charles Barkley joined the WIP afternoon or midday show with Hugh and Joe.
What is the realistic expectations that you have for Joel Embiid tonight?
He just got to give me anything he can, Hugh. That's all he can. First of all, I think they should use him more as a decoy, to be honest with you, because the Knicks, for some reason, they're doubling him. And if I was Joel, I'd just go in the post, draw the double team, because that's going to get Maxey going. That's going to get Kelly going. That's going to get Tobias going. I would use myself. If I'm able to get 20 somewhere in there, some rebounds, that's great because that's gravy. But, you know, I don't expect him to go out and get 50 on the one leg.
For one leg. I love Charles Barkley, but he, I don't know. Do you agree with it? Because in my parlay, I had the over points for Embiid.
I mean, I think Embiid needs to look better than he did in the last fourth quarter, like absolutely the last two, really.
So,
yeah, he needs to step up there. But at the same time, no, I think that is a good strategy, especially with their over-focus on Joel. If you can use that to get momentum, whether it's from Maxey, get chemistry going, whether it's Tobias, Hield, get some guys on the bench in there a bit more. So I don't know. I think that could be a good little way to attack it. You just have to make sure Joel is taking smart shots, especially if he's taking less shots. So,
yeah. Are you on the trade Joel train?
I don't think so. I know it sucks because every year we do this and there's never a consistent locker room to grow. There's at least been some consistent coaching, but it's always switching rosters around. And I do think that hurts them to a certain point. That's why even with this bench, as much as I don't think the bench is bad now, I was frustrated with the whole Pat Bev trade and all that, because at least they were finally building some chemistry on the bench and like an identity. Yeah. And I think that's something they continually overlook. I think that's a big part of why they're struggling in this series, to be completely frank.
It is. Their bench has the most or the least amount of points out of any team in the postseason.
I mean, Maxey and Embiid by far are carrying them, and the rest of the team, you know, some of them have played with them, but they aren't as familiar other than like Tobias here. So it's a little bit frustrating from that standpoint, but I think as long as you can get a good offense flowing, and if they are doubling Joel, you have to take advantage of those open shots. And you really, really, really have to out-hustle the Knicks when it comes to these rebounds. There are so many opportunities that the Knicks continue to get over and over again, second chance shots.
Josh Hart is 6'4", man. He's 6'4". How the hell is he getting 16 rebounds a game?
Dude, they want it. And I think that comes down to it tonight. The Sixers have to show that they want it more. And it better be loud in there tonight if you're going.
Yeah, it better be. And then one last thing. I'm going to leave it on this. One of the Eagles jerseys that I refused to let go of for the longest time was number 5'4". Jeremiah Trotter. And this is an awesome video. I didn't see this. You sent this over to me, but I want to play it for the other side watchers because it's very touching. It's the moment that so Trot's son, who's, you know, a South Jersey kid, right? You lived over in South Jersey or something like that. You know, they I think it was within the past year, Junior's mom, you know, Trot's wife, passed away. And you know, it's always been a dream of him to play in the NFL, particularly for the Eagles. So this is a moment that Howie was able to give Trot Jr. a call and tell him the good news. Take a watch.
All right, hey, Jeremiah
Trotter. Trot.
Hey, how you doing? It's
Howie Roseman. What are you thinking, man? You think we should trade up and take you right here? That'd be pretty cool.
That'd be pretty cool. I'd love that.
Yeah, you're an Eagle, brother. Just like it's meant to be. Right where you're back home, brother. Proud of you.
I appreciate it.
Congratulations.
Jeremiah.
Hello.
How you doing? It's Coach Sirianni.
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Hey, congrats, man.
Jeremiah, how old were you when I first met you?
I'm
two,
sure. I was
two,
like, you
know, three,
yeah.
Four. Congrats, man.
Thank you.
Just really huge congrats. Congrats to your dad. And I loved your mother, so.
Thank you.
Congrats. Can't wait to see you.
Thank you. I appreciate you guys.
And I bring that up because I don't know, Anthony, if you didn't hear that interview with Ike and Jack and Spike between Trot, his son, and, you know, those guys, freaking amazing interview. So go listen to that.
Yeah, I mean, it shows you why Jeffrey Lurie is really one of the most elite and caring owners in the NFL. Not a lot of guys do that, especially for a fifth, sixth, seventh round pick. It's awesome that they were able to score him still. Howie absolutely murdered the draft. Cooper
killed it, man.
Cooper.
What a stupid question from. What are your thoughts on McClain's question, though? It's only 14.
Oh, my God. This
is just probably know, there haven't been many white starting cornerbacks in the NFL in a long time. Do you think that'll prevent you from getting that opportunity?
I mean, if they put me out there, I'll be excited to play out there.
as you like,
how are you supposed to answer that question?
It's like he works in politics. Like, what kind of? Oh my god, man! Like, it's a sport where maybe he'll be corner, maybe he'll be safety. He's a great player either way. The fact that we're saying this, you would never say that to a black player. It's insane. Yeah.
But, and why is everything just seen through a racial lens? Like,
that's so stupid.
Can we move away from that police world? All right, that's all we got. We gotta get out of here. Well, I gotta get out of here. Got a wedding tomorrow to go to in Avalon. You ever go to a beach wedding? What do you wear to a beach wedding?
Oh, I have. I was actually at a wedding last weekend with my buddies up toward the Poconos. It was great. So have fun. I hope yours is as fun as mine was.
You didn't answer my question though.
Oh, beach wedding. Can you wear flip flops? I know you would. I feel like
I would, but I don't want to be the only guy at the wedding.
Yeah, like a loose button down and khaki shorts. Is that the move?
I think they're wearing like suits though. Like,
yeah,
navy suits like this. So can I just pull off a button down, or do I? So I was thinking about going to look for a jacket at some point this evening, but I already tried that.
Maybe just
I love to look like that.
Yeah, sport coat, open button down, and some like slimming pants. I guess, which you're tall, so you got that.
Douchey look though. I don't know if that's too douchey.
I don't know. You could pull it off. It's fine.
Well, I do dress very douchey, so openly admit that one. Sorry, I'm still just now. I'm just keeping your time. This is what I need to do anyways. Figure out what the hell I'm wearing tomorrow. But I won't be in. That's this moral of this story for the Dom Show. But please tune in. We'll have a great one. We got Jay Town coming back on after a great social media response attorney that's been working with Trump. Great analysis on both the protesters. He says that all these teams should just send in their football team to break things up. Not a bad suggestion, like the frat kids over at UNC. I just did that, Kimmy, and it didn't help at all. She just says, Google appropriate attire for a beach wedding.
Well, yeah, it looked like it was out of a home living or something for selling like a backyard patio set. That's what those pictures gave me.
And your thought of the day from Tiny Bubbles, crispy underwear is better than smelly underwear.
Yep. You guys are one of a kind. Our audience. Thank you for that one right there.
All right, Anthony, what's coming up on the Dawn Show tomorrow?
Tomorrow we will have Andre Bellevue in with Dawn, I believe at 10, and Anthony Hennin 10:30 to go through all the latest Pennsylvania headlines of the center square. And then on Kalen Company, we will have Harry Mays, Tony Bruno, Dawn Stensling, Greg Stocker, Miss Robin, ooh, myself, packed show. So we'll be there all morning. No, Kale's out until he will be back Tuesday.
It's like all of the company, but without Kale.
All the company except Kale. So tune in tomorrow. Some Harry Tony reunion from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. Yes, sir.
Awesome. And then tomorrow, big day for Philadelphia because we got that Jim Jordan hearing in town.
Oh, so yeah. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
We'll be talking about that a lot. And we're still trying to get – we're working with Jim's people to try to find a time. There's a lot of travel going on, clearly, for the congressman. But hopefully you'll hear from Representative Jordan of the Dom Giordano program tomorrow as well. Until then, have a great one. What's that?
I was just going to say, Susie said I missed it. Just tune in. You can rewatch this on YouTube. Also find us on the Odyssey app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you find your shows. Thank you, guys.
And then let me do this thing like they do on YouTube.
Oh, the heart.
You don't actually have the button. There's the like button. Oh, wait. Yeah, you do.
Is that going to work this time?
It's not working.
It's not working this time. It works. Yeah,
try it again.
We love you guys. What, thank you.
Did you have like a specific setting?
I don't know. It might have been my other camera. Maybe it was like
Yeah. But I was talking about the like and subscribe that they do at the end of the YouTube videos. Please like and subscribe. YouTube.com/@1210.
Like and subscribe. Click down there. Like and subscribe. Come on.
There it is. Okay. Adios, everybody. See you tomorrow. Have a good one.
I need no birds.